Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers of Madani Channel back to another episode of this program in which we discuss the blessed seerah, the blessed life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, year by year, all the way from his blessed birth, all the way to his blessed wafat, from Makkatul Mukarrama all the way to Madinatul Munawwara. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this program is called the Life Chronology of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah for those viewers who have been with us all the way until this point, marhaba to you. And those viewers who have not been with us, but you may be joining us for the first time, marhaba, welcome to you too. And be sure to find the earlier episodes of this program on our social media pages, inshallah. In that way, you too can get a holistic understanding of the blessed seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to recite salawat upon him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more salawat we recite, the more benefit we receive. Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who recites salat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him." Subhanallah azza wa jal. You and us who want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must increase in salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that way, we're going to receive more and more of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, today's topic of discussion is the ninth year after Hijrah, the ninth year after the migration of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. Alhamdulillah. And in this year, some very important events had taken place. One of them is Tabuk. And another very important event that has taken place as well is the various delegations that came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're going to discuss all of that and more, inshallah, in today's program. So you stay with us, stay glued to your screens of Madani Channel, and you're going to learn so much of the seerah that took place in the ninth year after Hijrah. But to discuss today's topics, we're not going to do it alone. Alhamdulillah, I have in studio with me on my right, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
MashaAllah, marhaba and welcome to you, Mawlana Sahib.
Exactly.
And on my left, Mawlana Suhail Madani Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi.
MashaAllah, marhaba, welcome to you, Mawlana Sahib. MashaAllah. It's always wonderful to have you, alhamdulillah, in studio with our viewers of Madani Channel being with us. Alhamdulillah, we discuss various matters together and we have some very educational programs regarding the seerah in this year's Rabi'ul Awal Sharif. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara after the Hijrah. And year by year, alhamdulillah, so many events had taken place. In the ninth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. And we just discussed the eighth year after Hijrah, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had conquered Makkatul Mukarrama. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam still chose to come back to Madinatul Munawwara. And he continued his life in Madinatul Munawwara. The istiqamah, the steadfastness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so amazing that despite him sallallahu alaihi wasallam having conquered Makkatul Mukarrama as well, being the king, the ruler in Madinatul Munawwara as well, and subhanallah, the Muslim empire growing, so many people were accepting Islam. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had rule over such vast areas. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Though, among the amazing things about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that despite having authority in so many areas, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle did not change. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained simple. Alhamdulillah, we know as Muslims that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the king within the dunya, within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given him sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much authority and so much of
wealth at his hands as well, that if he made dua, if he asked for it, mountains of gold would follow him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived such a simple life that it is narrated that in the blessed home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the household of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times fire was not burned for months at end. Meaning there was not much food or not much to cook. Therefore, fire was not burnt, meaning there was no food being cooked. For long periods of time, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with his blessed Azwaji Mutahharat, his blessed wives, who are the mothers of the believers, alhamdulillah, they lived in such a simple way that they would eat dates and drink water and live off that, survive off that. Allahu Akbar. However, we must realize and must know that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed wives, they did come from very honorable, very noble, very well-known backgrounds. Some of them were daughters of leaders of different tribes. They lived very comfortable lifestyles previously. And when they came into the blessed life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saw the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in such a way that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely simple. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have bare minimum, very little in his blessed home. That imagine the king of the dunya, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would walk into his blessed home and ask his Azwaji Mutahharat, ask his blessed wives when he would enter their houses, that is there anything to eat? And they would sometimes say, yes, there is this to eat. And sometimes they would say, no, there isn't anything to eat in the home. Allahu Akbar. So as time went on, the Azwaji Mutahharat, the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had spoken among themselves. And they had spoken among themselves of the challenging situations that they were facing with regards to finances and just a little food. And so they decided together that they were going to ask the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for an increase in finance and an increase in food.
Allah.
But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived such a simple life and chose to live such a simple life. Otherwise, do jahan ki ni'matein hai unki khali haath mein. That the wealth of both of the worlds, alhamdulillah, is in his empty hands. That if he wants, if he just asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desires and Allah azza wa jal would give him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by choice lived a very simple life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like this. That the blessed Azwaji Mutahharat were asking for more than the simple life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he chose to adopt that simple life. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had moved a little bit away for a little while from the blessed Azwaji Mutahharat. In that time, the Azwaji Mutahharat realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen simplicity and did not want to move away from simplicity. And some time had passed like this. The ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had heard about this. And they became very saddened because they saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to his blessed homes. He's not going to his Azwaja Mutahharat. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he reports that his neighbor had come to him and had told him about this, that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we are in a state of difficulty. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked, what is it? Is Medina Sharif being under attack by anyone? Has any tribe attacked Madinatul Munawwara? And his neighbor says, no, it is worse than that. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked, what is it? And he is told that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has moved away from his blessed wives. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala hastened to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. At the time of Fajr, he had gone towards Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. And he thought and he heard from the blessed Ashab radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een that they were in fear that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has separated himself from his blessed wives. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala was in a lot of worry. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salah and thereafter returned to his blessed room where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was staying, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala intended to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to what has occurred. What can we do, O beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is there any difficulty that we can bring ease to? But before doing that, he went to his blessed daughter, who is one of the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked her and spoke to her that, oh, Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, what has happened? Has the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam separated himself from you all? And she radiallahu ta'ala anha said, I don't know. And she was in a state of worry as well. She cried as well. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala tried to approach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully. He had requested ijaza, requested for someone to request permission for him to enter the blessed room of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A few times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't respond, until the third time Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave ijazah, and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an then went to the blessed room of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But see the simplicity of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an entered his blessed room, he found that within the blessed room of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just some barley and some water. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried. He cried, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, why are you crying?" Said then Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, "Oh beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kings of different areas live such lavish lifestyles, and you, being the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are living such a simple and humble lifestyle."
Kul jaha milk aur jau ki roti ghiza. Kul jaha milk aur jau ki roti ghiza. Kul jaha milk aur jau ki roti ghiza. Us shikam ki qanaat pe lakhon salam, Mustafa jaane rehmat pe lakhon salam.
Ah, subhanallah azza wa jal. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala respectfully asked the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "Oh beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your ashab are in worry. Your ashab are in worry. They are afraid that you may have divorced your blessed wives. Is it the case, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not divorced his blessed wives, he was so happy Allah. That he shouted out the takbir, "Allahu Akbar." And he asked ijazah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your ashab who are so worried, can I please go and comfort their hearts and let them know of this?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave ijazah, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala then went to the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and announced to them that your fear of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam separating himself by talaq or by divorce from his blessed wives, that is not the case. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still with his blessed wives, although he has chosen some seclusion for a little while. And after some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave permission to his blessed wives. He gave them the choice. And upon this, the first blessed wife who was asked of this was Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her that, "Take some time and then give me your answer." She said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I have chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the wealth of the world."
Teri sadgi pe lakho, teri ajzi pe lakho, teri sadgi pe lakho, teri aajzi pe lakho, ho salam aajizana, ho salam aajizana, madni madine wale, madni madine wale, madni madine wale."
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the simplicity of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, the other Azwaji Mutahharat, the other blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the believers, they were asked as well, that what is it that you choose? Do you choose the wealth of the world, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prepared to give you if you are to be separated from him, or do you choose to be with him and live in simplicity? All of them unanimously, every last one of them had chosen without the need to think over it, that we choose to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are happy with simplicity as long as we have the company of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal. What great lessons the Azwaj Mutahharat, the mothers of the believers, have taught us. That the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than any wealth that the world can offer.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this too, this blessed decision of theirs and this blessed way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of simplicity, this had shone in the ninth year after Hijrah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And thus, we've discussed it, Alhamdulillah, and the blessed choices of the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the mothers of the believers, that we want our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the spirit that the Ashab of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. We just discussed recently that at the conquest of Makkah, when the new tribes that accepted Islam were being given wealth, Mali Ghanima, the spoils of war, and the Ansar Ashab were not given as much.
Allahu
Akbar. And the Ansar of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ansar Ashab, they said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we only want you as our Sheikh. Whatever wealth there may be, let it go to others. If you return with us, this is sufficient and this is more than we can ever ask for. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, within this ninth year after Hijrah, there were various delegations that came to the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because now Islam is spreading. Everyone's hearing about Islam, everyone's hearing about the Mu'minun, especially after the conquest of Makkah, because Quraysh, they were one major force that was stopping people from accepting Islam. Many tribes were afraid that if we were to accept Islam, the Quraysh would attack us, because the Quraysh are constantly attacking the Muslims. But now when Makkatul Mukarrama was conquered in the eighth year after Hijrah, this opened the platform that whoever wants to accept Islam now, the Quraysh are no longer a threat, because the Quraysh have also followed the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many among the Quraysh have become believers as well. They have become the Ghilman, the servants at the court of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, waiting for his command, and they are ready to act upon it. Alhamdulillah. So many tribes started to open their hearts towards Islam and started to come to the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to inquire more about Islam, to ask their questions regarding Islam. Mawlana Sahib, if you can please share with us regarding some of those delegations that may have come through to the court of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how were they treated and what was the result of some of those delegations?
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi. As we know that Bani Khaza'a,
right,
they already were on the side of Rasulullah Sallallahu.
Yes, yes.
They were the Muslim allies.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And it was their persecution that led to the conquest of Makkah.
Correct.
That this had given Rasulullah Sallallahu and the Ashab the reason to safeguard the allies. Mm-hmm. Because whichever promise Rasulullah Sallallahu made in his life, he made sure he fulfilled it.
Absolutely.
Subhanallah. And he was Sadiqul Wad. Whatever promises he made the true promises, and he would see through it right till the end.
Alhamdulillah.
And he wouldn't leave anyone stranded, and especially his ummah.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. So Bani Khaza'a, they form alliance with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even prior to the conquest of Makkah. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded to their plea and their call, when they called out for help, and the result was the conquest of Makkah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So once they are in the folds of Islam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send personnel to collect their sadaqat.
Right.
And this time around in the year 9th Hijri, he sent a sahabi to collect the sadaqat from them.
Right.
And he went and collected the sadaqat, alhamdulillah. Right. While he was returning back from there, from Banu Khaza'a, Banu Tamim, they intercepted him. And they wanted to rob him of all his assets that he was carrying with him. And he somehow managed to escape from there and saved his life. He came back and reported to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then, as a response, he sent out a group of 50 horsemen to go and take care of the tribe of Bani Tamim, who had insulted the Sahabi and who had shown disrespect to the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and were guilty of treason. This is a treason.
Intercepted. And taking the yes. Maal of Sadaqat as well.
Yes. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent them to go and take care of the issue. They went and captured their women, their children, and brought them to Madinah Munawwara. Now, once the tribe chief got to know of Banu Tamim, that this is what has happened, he now is furious. And he takes his dignitaries with him to the court of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he took with him the famous orator of Banu Tamim. His name was Utarid. And he also took Zabarqan bin Badr, who was the famous poet of Bani Tamim. You know, in Arab world, if you wanted to flex your muscles, you know, they regarded themselves as eloquent people.
Right.
So this is the way.
Actually.
Yes, this was the way for them to show their prowess, you know, and their abilities. Uh-huh. That, you know what, don't underestimate us. Right. And when he took these two guys with him, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's court, and at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting in the room of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha ummul mu'minin. And when he approached there, he started shouting. And the Sahaba knew the respect and the honor of the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do not raise your voices in this court. And it wasn't allowed. So Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala and other Sahaba, they tried to explain to him, calm down, lower your voice. But they wouldn't listen. And then finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came for Zuhr time, after his qailula, after his siesta that he had had, when he came to perform Zuhr, they started screaming again. And the tribe chief, his name was Aqra, when he started screaming, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attended to his call, and then he says that if we were to praise someone, they become honorable. And if we were to disgrace someone, they become disgraced. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that it all depends on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives anyone honor, and he is the one who causes someone disgrace. But however, don't go for that. Tell me what you're here for. And then he said, this is the case. And what we should do actually is that our khatib that we have brought, the orator, Utarid, he must now extol the virtues of our tribe and greatness of our tribe before you. And you must extol the virtues of your tribe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, look, I wasn't sent to recite poetry. But if you want, if this is what you wish for, no problem. It can be arranged. Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then agreed. And then from the side of the Banu Tamim, Utarid stood up and spoke of their praises and so on. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hinted towards Sayyidina Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, an Ansari Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a great khatib and orator. When he stood up and he spoke the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his tribe and so on, now there was dominance. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown the dominance of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba and his tribe, Muhajir, Ansar and so on, to the tribe of Banu Tamim. And they were really taken aback. And then their shair and their poet stood up and he recited the poetry in their praises and so on. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated towards Sayyidina Hassan ibn Thabit, the Naad Khan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sang the praises of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his lineage and so on. And after Aqra had listened to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sahaba, his lineage, and mashallah, he was really taken aback and he said, there is no match to your honor, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they all had embraced Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how this matter was resolved.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed akhlaq, his blessed way, his blessed lineage, his blessed city, everything about him is so beautiful that when people would hear about it, when people would see the lineage and the honor of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody could state that they were greater. It was obvious and it was clear that alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal had given dominance to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, various people seeing the akhlaq, seeing the adab, seeing the kindness, the generosity, the way of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would be attracted to Islam and they would accept Islam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, just the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a da'wah. The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a da'wah, that you didn't have to hear words before hearing words. Just seeing him was sufficient. Just seeing his way was sufficient. Just seeing how he carried himself out was sufficient. Seeing his generosity softened the hearts of the people and brought them into the folds of Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Mulan Sahib, if you can share with us any waqi'at, any incidents among the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who became ashab, by looking at the way, the akhlaq, the kindness of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. Actually, in Rabiul Thani, 9 years after migration, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent out a battalion of riders with horses, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he was the commander of this battalion.
Subhanallah.
And they were set out to destroy the temple in Fulas. And they were successful in this. They destroyed the temple. They came back from Ta'i, returned from Ta'i with some women as captives and some livestock. And when they were presented to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he informed him that I am a very elderly woman and I am the daughter of Hatim Ta'i. So she was the daughter of Hatim Ta'i.
Ah, Hatim Ta'i is that generous person. Hatim Ta'i was known to be a very generous person among the Arabs, to the extent that it's mentioned regarding him that he had various doors as well to his home. And if someone came to each door, he would give them at each door. He was so generous. It could just be an expression of his generosity. That he was so generous that if someone came to him over and over and over again, he would not deny them at any point. He would constantly give and give and give. He's so generous. There's once a beautiful narration as well regarding this. That a story that someone mentioned that, see, Hatim Ta'i was so generous. What about the generosity of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he is the most generous from the creation of Allah. So how generous was he? So it was mentioned that if someone came to Hatim Ta'i, he would give him. Such that if the same person came again, he would give him again. And if the same person came again, he would give him again. That is the generosity of Hatim Ta'i. Which means, when he was given the first time, the need was not completely fulfilled that he had to come the second time.
Allah.
But my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that when someone comes to ask of him, he gives so much the first time that the need is fulfilled that he does not have to return.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Aata hai faqeeron pe unhein pyaar kuch aisa. Aata hai faqeeron pe unhein pyaar kuch aisa. Khud bheek de aur khud kahe mangta ka bhala ho. Khud bheek de aur khud kahe mangta ka bhala ho.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So this was the daughter of Hatim Ta'i, that famous generous Hatim Ta'i. Alhamdulillah, the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most generous. But nonetheless, Hatim Ta'i was known to be so generous among the Arabs. So the daughter of Hatim Ta'i, she now comes to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she requests for freedom.
She requests for freedom from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she explained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indeed my father has passed away. And my brother, the son of Hatim Ta'i, Adi, he fled away. He was a Christian and he fled to Sham. So I'm left all alone. Ya Rasul, O Messenger of Allah, have mercy on me. So Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam freed her. Not just freed her, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave her a camel and some provisions so that she can return to a city. Subhanallah. And you know, when she returned back on her journey, she was searching for a brother, you know, to meet with him again as he left her. And when she met with her brother, you know, she started to explain about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, who is the messenger of Allah, how he treated her, how generous he is, subhanallah, azza wa jal. And as she is mentioning, subhanallah, he eventually fell in love with Rasulullah sallam just by hearing about the messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And eventually, you know, he agreed to come back with his sister and they both came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they get to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says to Adi bin Hatim that, is there no one worthy of worshipping except Allah? Allahu Akbar. And Adi bin Hatim, you know, he responds and that indeed Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the conversation is going on, Adi bin Hatim, he accepts Islam. He embraces Islam in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you mentioned, Murad Sahib, of the generosity of his father, subhanallah. Adi bin Hatim also was so generous that once a man came to him for 100 dirhams. And he says to this man, is this all you need? Remember, I am the son of Hatim al-Tai.
Right.
Subhanallah. And likewise, you know, at the time of Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and as well, it was very difficult at that time as many were leaving Islam, you know. And but he was that one companion amongst those many that stood firm on Iman and supported Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to the extent that he brought his zakah to the court of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Likewise, he took part in many battles as well as like the Battle of Iraq. And he eventually passed away at the age of 120 years.
Allah Akbar.
That's approximately about 68 years after Hijri. Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, Ya Azza wa Jalla. Kind and generous Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What good akhlaq he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. What beautiful ways he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that anyone who would come into contact with him and see his blessed way would be blessed with the light of Iman through the kind akhlaq of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those that Allah azza wa jalla's hearts had open, they were blessed with the light of Iman, and those whose hearts were not open and were close to seeing the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those unfortunate souls only had remained upon misguidance. Alhamdulillah, many ashab were blessed with the light of Iman through the kind akhlaq, the kind way of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
देने को मुझ चाहिए कौन देता है देने को मुझ चाहिए देने वाला है सच्चा हमारा नबी सबसे ओला वो आला हमारा नबी सबसे बाला वो आला हमारा नबी.
Subhanallah, really, really, alhamdulillah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed so much of greatness in his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such wonderful ways, and we love him so dearly. Now we want to increase our love for him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's listen to praises of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of his blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, and increase in our hearts even more the love for the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Enjoy this kalam in praise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and just after the kalam, we'll be back to continue this program, inshallah. الله عز وجل صلى على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
مرحبا 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 مصطفى مرحبا 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 مصطفى सरकार की आमद मरहबा आका की आमद मरहबा दिलदार की आमद मरहबा मंठार की आमद मरहबा सोने की आमद मरहबा 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 खुशियां मनाओ भाइयों सरकार आ गए मरहबा खुशियां मनाओ भाइयों सरकार आ गए मरहबा सरकार आ गए मरहबा सरकार आ गए शरे अबरार आ गए
सरकार आ गए सब झूम झूम कर कहो सरकार आ गए सब झूम झूम कर कहो सरकार आ गए सब झूम झूम कर कहो सरकार आ गए दोनों जहां दोनों जहां के मालिक व मुख्तार आ गए
सरकार आ गए
वो गम زدوں کے حامیوں غمخوار آ گئے, دکھیوں کے بے قصوں کے مددگار آ گئے. ہے آج جشن آمد سرکار چار سو, ہے آج جشن آمد سرکار چار سو, دنیا میں آج, دنیا میں آج نبیوں کے سالار آ گئے. سرکار آ گئے, خوشیوں کے لمحے آ گئے, دیوانے جھوم اٹھے, عیدوں کی عید آ گئی, سرکار آ گئے. پڑھتے درود سارے گی تعظیم کو اٹھو, پڑھتے درود سارے گی تعظیم کو اٹھو, اٹھ کر پڑھو, اٹھ کر پڑھو سلام کے سرکار آ گئے. سرکار کی آمد مرحبا, آقا کی آمد مرحبا, دلدار کی آمد مرحبا, منٹھار کی آمد مرحبا, سونے کی آمد مرحبا مرحبا, سرکار آ گئے. دیوانو آؤ عام نبی بی کے گھر چلے, صبح بہار ہو گئی, سرکار آ گئے. لہراؤ سبز پرچم اسلامی بھائیوں, لہراؤ سبز پرچم اسلامی بھائیوں, گھر گھر کرو, گھر گھر کرو چراغ کے سرکار آ گئے. سرکار آ گئے, یا رب کرم ہو از پائے میلاد مصطفیٰ, بخشش کی آس لے کے گناہگار آ گئے. صدقہ حضور آپ کے میلاد پاک کا, صدقہ حضور آپ کے میلاد پاک کا, دے دو شفا, دے دو شفا گناہوں کے بیمار آ گئے. سرکار آ گئے, صدقہ بٹے گا آمنہ بی بی کے گھر میں آج, صدقہ بٹے گا آمنہ بی بی کے گھر میں آج. کشکول لے کے دوڑتے نادار آ گئے, بھولے نہیں سماتے ہیں عطار آج تو, بھولے نہیں سماتے ہیں عطار آج تو, دنیا میں آ, سرکار کی آمد مرحبا, آقا کی آمد مرحبا, دلدار کی آمد مرحبا, منٹھار کی آمد مرحبا, سونے کی آمد مرحبا مرحبا, سرکار آ گئے.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. What a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. And I'm sure that our hearts are feeling joyous and more enlightened and more attached to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the more you love him, the more you are inclined to follow his blessed sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Now we were discussing the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were in the discussion of the 9th year after Hijrah. Now, in the 9th year after Hijrah as well, some news had reached the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Caesar of Rome, he was the ruler of the Roman Empire, that he was preparing an army again to attack the believers, to attack the Muslims. And it was to be checked that is this true? That they are really planning to attack the believers, to attack the Muslims. And so the travelers from that area all the way would come to Madinatul Munawwara, the business people, the merchants that would trade on that side and come to Madinatul Munawwara. They would inform the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab that yes, indeed, this is true. We have seen this, we have seen it with our own eyes, that there is preparations of a war, that they are planning to come to Madinatul Munawwara to attack the believers. Allahu Akbar. And now again, the defense of the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara is necessary. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is preparing. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, the ashab were ready. They prepared themselves and they said, labbaik to the command of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to stand in defense of the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, to stand in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to stand in defense of the deen. Even though it was being told to them that the Caesar of Rome is not coming alone with his army, he has gathered various tribes and their armies. Still, the command of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we are to defend Islam, that was sufficient. They were prepared to face the disbelievers to defend Islam, alhamdulillah. And so preparations began for this expedition. And the Muslims were going to move. They were going to move towards an area called Tabuk. And at that area, Tabuk, is where it could be expected that they were going to face the disbelievers. But the Muslims were to prepare themselves, because this is a very long journey that they are going to undertake, along with an army that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put together. Mawlana Sahib, these preparations for Tabuk at this point, it could have been quite extensive, that Tabuk is such a distance away and so many ashab are going to travel all the way to Tabuk. Thus, quite a bit of preparation needs to take place. Mawlana Sahib, can you shed some light on preparations for this expedition of Tabuk?
Subhanallah Sayyidi, you know, they were world superpowers in the time.
Right.
Persians and the Romans. Mm-hmm. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran. No other empire has been mentioned in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except these two. The Romans, they were such that Syria at the time, Asham, was a Roman colony.
Yes.
And they used to be rulers over this piece of land, subhanallah, great piece of land. The greater Syria, we call it, you know, Asham. And they were ardent enemies of Islam. And when they started preparing for this war, they weren't shy with the preps. And they, first the Roman Empire, they joined strength with the Arab tribes as well. The tribe of Ghassan and other tribes that are mentioned there. So they joined their strength all together to launch an attack on the Muslims of Madinah Munawwara. And this news was spread like wildfire. It was no secret. And the enmity with Islam was also no secret. Mm. So it couldn't have been taken as a rumor, but it was rather the concrete truth that yes, it is bound to happen.
Right.
And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started preparing. We must know that up until this point, all the preps for the battles were kept hidden, were kept a secret.
Right.
And state secrets they were. But now the preparations for this battle was made public by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you must all come on board and bring whatever help that you can provide. Meaning it is the first time in the history of Islam that donations were taken. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the door for it. And this was the example that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set for Muslims to combine their strength. And he extended his invite to other tribes as well, if they could send some help with regards to the preparation of this battle. Why? Because it was the time when there was famine. These were trying times. There was famine there, and it was hot at the same time, very hot. Allah. So hot that people would feel reluctant to get out of their houses. And in this state, they are preparing for the battle. And whoever could bring whatever help, they did, alhamdulillah, on the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, it is aptly named Jaishul Usra, the army of constraints. Why? There were a lot of constraints, financial constraints. The weather was against them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he encouraged the Sahaba, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he brought half of all his assets that he had had with him.
Wow, subhanallah.
He brought half of everything to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was thinking, he was under the impression that yes, perhaps I'm the only one who's giving so much sacrifice. And then it came the turn of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who, mashallah, who has brought everything of his house, Allah, including his clothes.
Subhanallah.
No article was left alone. No article was spared. It was all presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And when he asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala about his charity, what have you left at home? He said, Ya Rasulullah, iddakhartu Allah wa Rasulahu. Meaning the treasure of my home is Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. The next in line was Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. He comes and he actually deserves this title, and he's known by this title, Mujahizu Jaishil Usra. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was motivating the Sahaba to bring whatever resources that they could afford. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give 100 camels. Subhanallah. And then he sat down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started motivating again. He stood up the next time. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will give 200 camels more. And then the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started motivating further. He again stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give additional 300 camels.
Subhanallah.
Wow. Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma ardi an Uthman fa inni anhu radh. Meaning, oh Allah, be pleased with Uthman because I am pleased with Uthman. Subhanallah. Now, Sayyidi, commenting on this beautiful occurrence, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that although he pledged 100 camels, then 200 camels, that makes it
300
plus 300, 600. And usually when people pledge something, they give lesser than what they pledge. In most circumstances, yes. Realistically speaking, that we have seen this.
And they reach their target.
Yes.
Nothing beyond.
Yes, nothing beyond. So now, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, look at his sense of sacrifice, that he pledged 600 camels, but when the time came to fulfill it, he gave 950 camels altogether.
Allah.
Subhanallah, 350 extra that he didn't pledge. Subhanallah. And that wasn't all. He gave 50 horses and 1,000 gold coins.
Allah.
Subhanallah. And then he topped it up with 10,000 more gold coins. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this was the commitment of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is another name worthy of mention here. Great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
He gave 40,000 dirhams, subhanallah, which was half of all his assets. Wow. Meaning he had in his assets 80,000 dirhams, but he gave 40,000, meaning half of what he had. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have brought half and I have left half for my children, for my family.
Wow.
Subhanallah. He said, may Allah give you barakah and blessings in what you have left behind, and may Allah give blessings in what you have brought. Subhanallah. And this was the effect of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became very wealthy going forward. Subhanallah. And in the midst of all these Sahaba, there were also Ansar Sahaba, who mashallah pledged great help. Sayyidina Asim bin Adi al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave hundreds of kilos of dates, subhanallah. And then there was a very poor Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who brought his contribution, and his name was Sayyidina Abu Aqil Ansari. He was a daily wage earner. So to contribute towards the Jaishul Usra, he worked the entire day, and as a wage, he got two saas of two containers of dates, subhanallah, that he was given as a reward for his hard work. And one container he left for his family, and one container he brought and contributed to this Jaishul Usra that was being prepared by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at the reciprocity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he appreciates that. You know, this sincere contribution out of poverty, when he had nothing, he went and earned it and then gave in the path of Allah. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, he put all of the contributions that came from various different sources, and he put his one container of date that he brought on top of everything.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So alhamdulillah, this was the preps of the Jaishul Usra that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made, and this was the contribution of his sahaba.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, subhanallah azza wa jal. How brilliant, how wonderful. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls his ashab and he motivates them to give in the path of Allah. Alhamdulillah, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes place until today. Continuously, alhamdulillah, that the work of deen is taking place. And for the work of deen, the Muslim communities throughout the world get together, they ask each other, they motivate each other to give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And alhamdulillah, in that way, so much of the work of deen continues to take place. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the preparations were done and the Muslim army is ready to leave. And they are ready to leave. However, there is still constraints with regards to the finances. And due to those constraints, only a certain amount of soldiers can go as well. So alhamdulillah, 30,000 soldiers are gathered, which is still quite a large number. But remember, the Caesar of Rome, along with his army, along with other Arab tribes, they are making a very big army to attack the Muslims. And so the Muslims now need to move towards their battlefield. They need to undertake this expedition or this journey. Can Mulana Sahib give us a little idea, a little briefing regarding the movement towards the battlefield or towards this expedition of Tabuk?
Subhanallah. You mentioned 30,000 companions.
Allah.
First Battle of Islam, subhanallah, 313. When the conquest of Makkah took place, approximately 10,000 companions.
Allah.
And in this battle, approximately 30,000 companions, subhanallah. Well, really, it gives you goosebumps, subhanallah, azza wa jalla, and it motivates you. Yes, Huzur, they embarked on this journey to reach out to Tabuk for the battle. And this took place in Rajabul Murajab, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out with his best companions. And he left Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, as his Khalifa in Medina Munawwara. And Sayyidina Ali says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you go out in battle and you leave me with children and women. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to him is so beautiful. He says, Ama tarda an takuna minni bi manzilati Haruna min Musa?
Allahu
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful jawab that, you know, do you not see that our relationship is like the relationship of Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam was going to Tur and he left Harun alayhi salam as his Khalifa, as his Naib with these people, subhanallah. But the only difference, there is no Prophet after me, Allahu Akbar. And then Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he embarked on this journey. And as they are marching to Tabuk, they stopped at Thaniyatul Wada. And why did they stop there? They stopped there so that they could set the formation of the army.
Right.
You know, the front, the right flank and the left flank. And after setting this, as Huzur mentioned, that this was a very difficult battle. Mm-hmm. One was obviously because of resources, etc., and finances. And the other was the extreme heat.
Allah.
And, you know, because of this extreme heat, a lot of companions, you know, they became weak. The animals, they could not feed the animals. The animals became weak. And amongst them also was Munafiqin, which caused lots of difficulty because they started to retreat back. And some companions, due to genuine reasons, they could not go further, like Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, and likewise they had genuine reasons, but eventually they joined Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle.
Subhanallah.
And likewise, Huzur, they passed the valley of the people of Thamud, you know, in Hijr. And when they passed this valley, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them from even, you know, drinking water in that area, even drinking the water of the place, even resting or eating in that place, because he mentioned to them that this is the place of Adab, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. And so they move swiftly through there. Alhamdulillah, the spirit of the ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to join the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really amazing. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala as well, that when his ride could not manage to go on any longer, it couldn't go on, he stayed, he spent time, he tried to feed his ride. And when the ride couldn't manage any longer to go any further, he radiallahu ta'ala would place his luggage upon his back and move to the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to join him in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. The spirit of the ashab to join the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, really it is amazing. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And so the expedition of Tabuk did take place and the ashab marched towards the area known as Tabuk, but upon hearing of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab having come out to Tabuk, the Caesar of Rome as well as his army became fearful such that they went towards their homes and they didn't come out. Alhamdulillah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come out and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spent approximately 20 days at Tabuk waiting for them. If any of them were to come, if the Caesar or his army was to come, then they may come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited. And when they refused to come, when they were too afraid, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his way back to Madinatul Munawwara. But when returning to Madinatul Munawwara, there were many munafiqun as well that had stayed away from the battle, that didn't want to come to the battle, that hid away from coming towards the battle, and they came and began to give the excuses. Yes, if there were any ashab that had any valid excuses or gave the excuses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated them differently, but they were munafiqun. They were hypocrites that had refused to go to Tabuk because they didn't have the same feeling as the ashab to defend the deen of Islam. In fact, Mawlana Sahib, they actually would call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and pray, to come and perform salah with them as well, isn't it?
Yes, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has embarked on this journey to the battle, they came and asked, Ya Rasulullah, we want you to come and inaugurate salah in our masjid.
So they built a masjid
and this masjid was called Masjid al-Dirar. And this masjid, the foundation of it was laid on the enmity and hatred towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. So apparently masjid is the house of Allah, but this masjid they built it, the munafiqun, they got together, conspired against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was known to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they came, Ya Rasulullah, we have built a masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm now in a hurry. We need to get to the battlefield. Upon the return, the verses were revealed in Surah At-Tawbah about the conspiracy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them to an extent when it was all known to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then commanded, he commanded the two Sahaba, Sayyidina Malik and Sayyidina Ma'an, to demolish this masjid and burn it to ashes. It wasn't a masjid. It was a house of conspiracy against Allah and Rasul azza wa jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To demolish this masjid and burn it to ashes.
Allah.
And it did happen as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded.
Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intentions behind our building of masajid as well. That when we do any amal, do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In this year as well, this ninth year after Hijrah, this is a year in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent the first qafila. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent the first caravan of Muslims under the guidance of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, along with some other great ashab of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the blessed land of Makkatul Mukarramah to perform the first Hajj. Alhamdulillah.
And among the other important things that had taken place in this year, the ninth year after Hijrah, as we discussed, were the delegations that came to Madinatul Munawwara. And among them, we did discuss some of them, alhamdulillah. Banu Tamim's delegation was discussed. They had come to Madinatul Munawwara and many others. It has been mentioned that over 60 delegations came to Madinatul Munawwara to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some had some questions regarding Islam because they heard about Islam, but they were afraid to come close because they knew the Quraysh would attack them. But alhamdulillah, now that Makkah Sharif had been conquered, they would come to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask their questions, and their hearts would open towards Islam, subhanallah azza wa jal. So you had the Banu Thaqif, the Banu Kinda, Banu Ash'ar, Banu Asad, etc., and many, many other tribes that had come to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asked about Islam and proclaimed the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their belief in the risalah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this blessed year of the ninth year after Hijrah was a very successful year for the believers. That alhamdulillah, the expedition of Tabuk had taken place. They had learned so much more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued teaching the believers, as well as many people had accepted Islam, and the Hajj was now performed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, preparing the Ashab for the next Hajj that is to come under the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if you want to learn about that Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam leading the Hujjaj, leading the Ashab, then you are going to have to wait for the next episode, inshallah azza wa jal. Very soon we are going to discuss the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which will motivate us to also move towards the blessed Kaaba for Hajj, inshallah azza wa jal. Until then, you stay with us, stay locked on to Madani channel, continue reciting salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank you for joining us for this wonderful episode, and we are hopeful that you'll be with us for the next episode of the life chronology of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Step by step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace His blessed way. Step by step, we trace His blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.